You're listening to Feathers, a podcast of stories about God speaking and his people having just enough faith to believe him and obey. I hope these stories inspire you and encourage you to take flight in your own faith. I'm your host, Amy Bennett, and this is Season 4, Episode 4. Well, hey friends, I am so glad you're here with me this week. I just want to start off and say thanks so much for all the energy around last week's episode with Jess and Haley. That's been so fun to see, especially when I highlight the people who commented and shared on the post on Facebook last week. Jamie Trung, Marie Cherry, Tammy Walker, Wendy Speak, Emily Carters Roberts, Holly Blackwell, Tammy Mashburn, and Chrissy Newman. And a special shout out to Chrissy Newman. She actually listened to the episode twice, and she was so inspired she is starting a book club with the book Wild and Free this summer in her hometown of Austin, Texas. So that is so awesome. For today's episode, we have Susie Eller. I actually know Susie as a writer for Proverbs 31 Ministries, and she's also the community manager over at Proverbs 31 writing group called Compel. But more than that, she's actually a blogger and an author. I think she's written 7 or 8 books now, and her latest one is called Come With Me. That's all about following where Jesus leads us, and I think it's just a perfect fit for us here at Feathers, and so excited to share that with you guys. So I hope you enjoy this conversation with Susie. Well, hey, Susie, and welcome to Feathers.
Hey, I am so glad to be with you.
Oh, me too. So glad that you're here. Why don't we start out with you introducing yourself and your family?
Okay. I am Susie Eller, and I am a blogger and a writer, and I'm a speaker on sabbatical. We can talk about that later. And I live in Northwest Arkansas, and my family is close by. I have 3 grown children, and love their spouses. And then I have these 6 beautiful little people. I have 6 grandbabies under the age of 5. And then I've my husband, who I've been married to for a really long time and still like a whole lot.
Oh, that's excellent. Oh, 6 grandbabies. There's 5 under 5. Is that, or they're all under 5?
All of them are under 5.
Oh my goodness. So you have a full house.
Yeah, they were all, well, most of them were here this weekend. And honestly, Amy, it's like having kittens. You know,
herding kittens.
I never know when I'm going to be pounced on or when I'm going to be kissed or licked or, you know, snuggled. And it's honestly, it's probably my favorite part of who I am and what I get to do.
Oh, that's what I keep hearing over and over. I know I've got 2 kids, and my sister's actually getting ready to have her first, and she's in her mid-30s, so it's a lot of fun. My mom getting to be a grandma again, and she loves it, so that's what I keep hearing.
Well, and I knew that I would love them, but nobody prepared me for the fact that they would love you back intensely, and so, yeah, it's a pretty great part of life.
Oh, well, that's good. Something to look forward to. So mine are, let's see, 10, 11, and 13 right now. So I've got hopefully a long time before I experience that. Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, so I just have to talk. You are, you also are with Proverbs 31.
Yeah.
And you're on Compel training, right?
I am. I'm one of the staff for Compel. And I really love getting to watch writers find their niche and discover their voice. And so I get to kind of be the cheerleader of the group. I'm a community relations coordinator for Compel. So my job is to cheer writers on.
Yeah, so I think I've been a member, maybe 2 years.
Okay. So almost from the beginning.
Yes, it was pretty soon after she launched that I joined, and I think I might have taken a couple months break and then got back on there maybe last year. I went to She Speaks last year, so I think I got back on before then.
Yeah, Compel Training is a lot like a writer's conference in a box. You know, there is so much content involved, but it's community all year long. Instead of going to a writer's conference and being inundated with education, you get it in bits and pieces all year long. So I really love being a part of it.
Yes, I have really enjoyed it. And it's really great, too, now that I've been to She Speaks and kind of see that some of that stuff drips out throughout the year. So maybe a session that I didn't get to go to at the conference last year will come out on Compel, and then I still get to get that content.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep, so I love that part. And a lot of, I feel like, more behind-the-scenes stuff.
Well, it's, you're not alone, and that's really important. I've been writing for 17 years, and I flew solo for a long time. And if I could go back and have kind of that same training and encouragement, there's no telling, you know, those first 5-10 years, how that would have changed for me as a writer.
Yeah, it's immensely helpful. So actually, I do want to talk about your latest book, actually. It's called Come With Me, Discovering the Beauty of Following Where He Leads. And I can just tell the people listening that if you're listening to this podcast, you're going to love this book. So I want to talk about one of the stories that you share in one of the chapters. You don't mean me, do you? And I just love the story that you share. So I love the way, let's just talk about the book for a minute. I love the way that you have this structured. So each chapter, you really follow a disciple and the things that we can learn from that disciple and how they follow Jesus and all sorts of lessons. And I just love this. And it's really wrapped around the disciple's story, but also your story too. And I loved how you intertwined the two of those. So the story in this chapter is about a move that you and your husband had to make. So I would love for you to walk the listeners through that story.
Sure. Well, in this chapter that you're talking about, we actually look at the life of Matthew. And one of the things I wanted to do, Amy, is I wanted to step into the Bible, realizing that these disciples had no idea the rest of the story like we have. They didn't know where following Jesus was going to take them. They didn't know where this invitation was leading them. But when we look at Matthew, he was the most unlikely guy to be chosen for one of the largest leadership roles in the early church. And when I look at that, it helped me understand that the Lord saw something in Matthew that maybe nobody else did. And the story that I share in this chapter is of the Lord leading us to Fayetteville, Arkansas. We had been in the same church, in the same community for a very long time. I'd raised my kids there. Our church family had watched us grow up and become adults, and then later, you know, parents and grandparents. And my daughter and son-in-law live in Fayetteville, and there's a ministry called Potter's House Ministries. And they were hosting a women's conference for 8 women. And I mean, they put on the whole thing for these 8 women. And these 8 women are matriarchs of a community of about 250. And these are fierce women who have had rough lives, who have faced poverty, who have fiercely tried to protect their children and grandchildren. And my son-in-law said, "Hey, my mother-in-law can speak." So I came to speak to this conference of 8, and I loved it. I loved it. I fell in love with these women, and I got in the car, and I was starting the hour and a half drive home and just started weeping, Amy. I knew that I knew that I knew that God had spoken to my heart as I left that place and said, "You're going to come back." And in the story of Matthew, what I realized is that in every invitation that came from Jesus, there was a destination. And for Matthew, it was leading him home, leading him away from being a tax collector to becoming a follower of Christ. But for me, as I looked at the invitation that I felt the Lord doing, it was also to come home, to be able to sit with these beautiful women and somehow minister beyond a women's conference. But it didn't happen easily. It actually took us about 3 years to get there. And I went home and I told my husband, and at any time, if you want to stop me, stop me. But when I went home and told my husband, "Hey, I believe that we're going to be moving to Arkansas. It's not what he expected. I went to speak to 8 women. I was supposed to come home. And he said, Susie, how do you know that? And I said, I don't know that for sure, but I know what I feel. And I sense that God is asking to at least pray about it and trust it. So he and I went and visited this church that had this umbrella ministry underneath it. And he walked away that weekend and felt it too. So for the next 3 years, we began to work our way towards Arkansas. And today I get to minister to these women. They're in my home. They are absolutely a part of my life. But the part of this story that really changed me is that even though it took us 3 years to get here, when we finally arrived, I went to visit the woman who was the ministry leader of these 8 women. And I began to tell her my story. You know, I've been trying to get here for 3 years. I don't even know exactly why I'm here, but I know it has something to do with those 8 women. And she told me that the day that I left, we had so connected, and she was so tired in ministry, and these ladies struggled so much to trust anyone that she began to pray and said, Lord, please send me someone like Susie to help me. And her prayer planted in my heart within minutes. And the Lord allowed me to be able to come and to be a part of that ministry.
Wow. I think that's just so amazing that it was an answer to her prayer. It was answer to your prayer. You just feeling that immediately and obeying. And you, the way you tell it in the book is you still, even after you moved, you really didn't even realize why you moved, that it took that conversation.
I didn't. And that's the thing is that, you know, we kept going. When we first knew that we were supposed to go to Arkansas, Richard and I started praying about it. What does this look like? And part of the really big mountain in front of us was that Richard had just finished school and 6,000 hours of licensing to be a professional counselor. And so that meant that he had to go back and get more hours and more accreditation to transfer license to Arkansas. And every single time that we thought that we were almost there, there would be one more thing, one more class, one more hoop to pass. And he finally got that. So we put our house up for sale, and then we realized that where we were moving was a thriving market, but where we lived was absolutely a down market. And so months passed without our house selling, and yet we would go to our home where we wanted to live, and houses would sell before we could even look at them. And so we started praying, and we had people who loved us a lot who were unsure of our decision. We begin to say things like this, you know, these doors are closing for you guys. It's not coming easy. Maybe it's not what you're supposed to be doing. And I think there's a fallacy sometimes that says that if there's a closed door, it's not from God. And yet sometimes a closed door is just a closed door. And sometimes a closed door is the fact that the Lord is leading you somewhere and he has a plan for you, and the enemy comes against you. And so what we would do is we would get together and close out all of the voices and all of the fears, and we'd begin to pray and say, Lord, are you in this? And every single time we were assured that we were on the right path, we were doing what we were supposed to do. And so what I would say to someone listening, if you're struggling and you know that God has spoken to you and yet it's not easy, I would say we're not promised easy. You know, when we look at following Jesus and picking up our cross, that's not easy, but it is an adventure. And so we did eventually get there, and I can't imagine living anywhere else.
Yeah, I think that's something that I come in contact doing this podcast over and over, is that where God leads, it's often not easy. And I agree with you. I have that underlined where you talk about the closed doors. I think, you know, that's a Christianese sort of thing to say. Well, if the door's open, I'll go. And if it's closed, I won't. But really, we have to learn to listen to God's voice and
it is
what he is telling us to do.
It is. And I think about what the Lord said to the disciples as they were about to go. He said, there's going to be times that there's only a rock upon which to lay your head. He didn't promise easy. But what he did promise was that I'm going to be walking with you. I'm going to be teaching you. I'm going to be showing you the way. I'll help you learn through your mistakes. I'll be with you when it seems like there's a mountain too big to climb. And so I don't understand why we tell people that if it's the Lord's will, that every door is going to open seamlessly, that there's not going to be any trouble or conflict to work through. It is a journey.
Absolutely. So another thing you talk about, especially in this chapter, is basically feeling qualified to be chosen by God to do this. So Matthew, you talked about Matthew, when really from every way you looked at him, he was not qualified to be part of that inner circle with Jesus. Yeah. As a tax collector. And how often and what I connected with so much is we are the ones who disqualify ourselves. And sometimes that's the biggest hurdle that we have.
We do. We disqualify ourselves and we disqualify others. I just returned from India and I was on a 10-day trip. And it was with a literacy program going in to minister to women who are of the Dalit or untouchable section of the population. And when I looked at some of the teachers, the society had told them, you can't read. You're not worthy. You can't do this. There were young women within this these literacy groups that had been named garbage because they were of such little worth in their within their culture that they were told from birth, you have no value. And yet as I stood with these women, what I saw were beautiful young girls, beautiful women who the Lord saw as valuable. And it came to break that lie that we're not worthy, that we can't be used by him. And so we don't live in that culture, and yet I meet women all the time that look at me and say, Susie, I can't do that. Or why would God choose me? And my answer is, why wouldn't God choose you?
Yeah, I love the, you actually share this verse in this chapter from Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so then you say that God often proves himself when we feel we have the least to offer.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, when I look back at first starting in ministry, I wasn't raised in church at all. I didn't have a theological background. All I knew is that I was the first Christian in my family on both sides, and that God had called me and that he loved me and he was changing my life. And if I were to take all of my qualifications and hold them up before the world, they would say, Susie, you have no chance of ministering the gospel. And yet he compelled me and called me. And my early efforts in ministry, I look back at those and just want to cringe. And yet they were training ground. And it's where the Lord taught me. And that, again, looking at these early disciples, none of them stepped up to the Lord and said, I've got this. Instead, they said, if you call me, I'll say yes. And let's see where this takes us.
Right. And so you talk, actually, this was another chapter that I wanted to talk about, too, is the chapter Believing Big When You Feel Small. And it's the chapter that focuses on Thomas and his doubt. And they talk about, you talk about the feeding of the 5,000.
Yes.
About how, well, you can talk about it.
Sure. Well, this... One of the things that many of my friends who are writers say is that when you begin to write a book, that you better be prepared to walk what you're sharing about. And as I wrote this book, Come With Me, Discovering the Beauty of Following Where He Leads, I lost a beautiful grandchild. I also, my husband was diagnosed with cancer. And here I am in the midst of a chapter called Believing Big When You Feel Small. And suddenly I felt so small. And I began to walk with Thomas, and I realized that we've marked Thomas as doubting Thomas. He's never called that in Scripture. It says that he had doubts, but he's never called doubting Thomas. In fact, if you look at his character, he was brave and he was loyal. And there was a moment where Jesus was called to go to Jerusalem, and everybody around him was saying, "Don't go." And Thomas stood up and said, "I'll go with you." And so he was a brave man, but he had doubts. Whenever Jesus appeared to all of the men and Thomas wasn't in the room, who of us wouldn't, like Thomas, say, "I can't just go on your word. I need to see him for myself." And that's where I was with Richard's cancer is, I'm a cancer survivor, Amy. I've walked through this. I know what it is to trust the Lord. But suddenly, my guy was the one facing it. And we were going through hospitals and surgeries and treatments and bills. And none of that mattered except for I was afraid because it was my husband, the guy who makes me laugh, the guy I love more than anything, that was going through this hard place. And suddenly I was doubting Thomas. I was holding up my doubts to the Lord and saying, "Father, I need to feel you. I need to see you." And I think that we look at that sometimes and say that that's not faith. And what I realize is that when you don't have enough faith or enough whatever and you reach out to God, that's exactly the definition of faith. We know where to go.
Mm-hmm. I love the that when you're talking about this in the book, it says, "I didn't have enough faith," and it's okay to acknowledge that as long as I was willing to give him what I did have. And you, further on, it says, "I found what I needed in the private moments, just God and me, where I held up my not enough and asked him for help." And you talk about the widow giving out of her not enough.
Yes.
And how Jesus commended her for that. And I love that you make this point because it really challenged me because, you know, part of me says, "Oh, have enough faith. You know, you need big faith." But really what you're challenging us is you may not have very much faith. You may have seen him do a miracle just like Thomas did and just like you had seen him be faithful in your cancer diagnosis before. And yet we still come up with these moments where our faith is small.
It is.
And really is not enough. But you're saying, well, take that, even though it's not much.
Right.
And you really feel like you should have more. Take what you have and give it to him.
Absolutely. Don't turn away. There was a moment where Richard was getting ready to go for surgery. And I just asked for 2 or 3 minutes. And I said, "If I could just have 2 or 3 minutes before you take him away, that would be enough for me." And I closed the door and I sat on the chair and I just got in this ball and sat before the Lord and said, "Lord, I am afraid. I am filled with doubt." And I was a rock the first time around when it was me, but I am not a rock today. But I give you everything that I have. I give you my doubts. I give you my fears. I give you my mustard seed of faith. And most of all, I give you that guy that I love. And I give you my life. And I trust you no matter what. And that is, in that moment, that's faith. That's the definition of faith. It's when the Lord was sharing the story of the widow's mite, and he pointed her out and he said, she had 2 mites, just 2 widow's mites. And she gave it all. And he found delight and joy and pleasure in the fact that she gave everything that she had. Everybody else around her looked at it and said, "It's not much. It can't do much." But the Lord found pleasure in it. And I believe in that moment that he found pleasure in the fact that my mustard seed of faith was all I had to give, but I gave it all.
That's so good. And he can take that little bit of faith. And I don't necessarily think what you're saying is that he's going to take that and do miracles. And that suddenly means, oh, he's going to heal my husband or whatever because of my little bit of faith. But I think what he gives back to us is he gives us more faith from that. And more comfort and more peace. He gives him more of himself.
Yes.
When we give him our not enough.
I agree. And you know, when I look back, I've been a cancer survivor now for 25 years. I was 31 years old. I had advanced cancer. But looking back, I see that the miracle, and I'm thankful for the extra years, and I'm thankful for what God did. I will never, ever not be grateful for that. But the miracle that I see in the last 25 years is the fact that in my most dire hour of need, I felt him with me. That's my miracle. I think mm-hmm. when I hit eternity one day, my extra years is going to mean a lot to me. But in the scope of eternity, it's not going to be a big drop in the bucket. But I think the fact that when we reach out and we give him our not enough, it becomes sufficient in his hands because we are not alone in the process. And he gives us what we need for the moment and for the hour and maybe even just for, you know, the day. But he gives us what we need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, we've talked about it tonight, just how things are not always easy. And he asks us to follow him anyway. It's going to be hard. And yet his promise is that he will not leave us alone. He'll take our little bit of faith and a little bit of talent and a little bit of skill and whatever we have. And he'll just multiply it.
It does. And I think that makes it so much simpler. It's not as complex. If I can bring him my not enough and then trust that he's going to take what I have, then that does become a walk of faith. Every single day that I wake up, I don't get up thinking that I'm a spiritual superstar. But what I do know is that I'm going to walk with Jesus that day. I'm going to be able to share with him when it's hard. I'm going to be able to share with him when I'm in India and it's 111 degrees and I'm overwhelmed by what I cannot fix. And I hold up my not enough and say, just like you do at home, just like you do in the good moments, here's what I have today, Lord. Show me what to do with that. Take this little bit of what I do have and just lead me. Show me what to do.
Mm-hmm. And that really, I mean, that's the picture of walking with Jesus.
It is.
I mean, it's a faith. When you talk about a faith walk, like that's what it looks like living it out. I mean, I've been studying John 15 and, you know, that just that word of abide.
Yes.
And the picture of abiding is just really walking along,
right.
Going alongside. And that's what it looks like is even when things are hard, we have him with us.
Right. And Amy, this was never supposed to be a book, not in the beginning.
Really?
Right. This came out of a personal desire to just walk with the Lord. And I had been wrestling with God over that. You know, I wasn't raised in church. I became a believer. And then now I've been a believer three times as long as I have been not a believer. And one night I was just wrestling with the Lord and said, Lord, isn't it crazy how that when you're in ministry or you've loved the Lord for a long time or you go to church, how faith can become complex. And I don't want it to be complex. I want it to be deep and I want it to be simple. And so the next day I woke up and I began to just read in the book of Luke. And I wanted to read as if I were walking with those disciples and I were hearing the words for the first time. And I wanted to watch Jesus and see his example and his interaction with the disciples and with others. And then I wanted to turn around and just live it and let that be a simple walk. Lord, let this be my journey with you. I thought it was going to be 2 to 4 weeks of just soaking in the book of Luke. It ended up being 2 years. And I journaled through it. And one day I was talking to my editor and she just wanted to hear how I was doing. I began to tell her this beautiful journey of 2 years, and I told her I have never felt more rested in my faith. I have never felt more challenged in my faith, but I have never felt that I have walked closer with Jesus in my entire life. And she said, Susie, please share that with others. And so that's how Come With Me was birthed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just reading it, I think I told you before we started recording, but I can just feel, I can feel that in your writing. And it's one of those things where you really have to go slow and soak it up. There's so much rich truth in here. I can tell that you took time with this and that you're sharing all of those truths with us. It's so good. So any of you that are listening that you might be deciding on a book for a Bible study in a group, I think this would be fantastic.
Yeah, thank you, Amy. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, it's still continuing. I'm still in the book of Luke. I'm in year number 3, and I'm reading other chapters, but I'm still sitting with them and kind of shaking the leaves of the trees to just learn more and walk deeper, and it's been a beautiful journey.
I love, I actually was going to pull out this quote earlier, and I love that you said this in the chapter that we were talking about earlier, and it says, so you say that you're in your 50s, and you say, I've finally embraced the truth that we never officially arrive.
Yes.
And so I love that God's word is still coming alive, and you're finding new things and new ways to look at it.
I am. And, you know, one of the things I told you earlier, that I'm on a sabbatical from speaking, and that's one of those things is, we start to put ministry or other things as so important or so big. And I have been a speaker with the Proverbs Ministries team for about 8 years. And one of the things as I was walking with the Lord, begin to pray about and say, Lord, I know that I need to create white space in my life. You know, is there an area where you want me to kind of pull in or change? And I knew that I knew that I knew that suddenly speaking was on the table. And I resisted because what a privilege it is to be able to travel and minister and speak and watch God work. And yet I realized that if I was holding on to it so tightly, that if the Lord himself was telling me to put it down, then it really wasn't about him. It was about me. And that came to Come With Me. And so I've started living with open hands. And this is a year where I have concentrated on writing books and doing other things and taking that white space where I'm not traveling every weekend somewhere to speak. And the Lord has given me new words and new messages and filling me back up. And I think I'll speak again, but whenever he tells me.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much. I actually have been so interesting. I walked away from writing regularly on my blog anyway last year. And this podcast has been in those in that white space. And right now, even looking to launch an online ministry myself. And I always come back to, you know, I mentioned John 15, and that's the one I've been sitting with for like a year, John 15, mm-hmm. just that little section, just keep concentrating on that. But it just reminds me where he talks about even the branches that are fruitful, he will prune those. So it'll be even more fruitful. So that's just the picture that I hear when you're saying, you know, he's taking you away from something that was fruitful. It's not saying it was bad. It was good, but he wants you to be even more fruitful in those places.
But I was running out of words and didn't realize that until I shut my mouth. It's just, I was at the point where I was blogging and I was writing and I was speaking and, you know, doing video teaching. And there just needed to be a place to fill out. And again, that came from watching Jesus' example, is that as much as he poured out, he poured back in. And I was out of balance. And thank goodness he's gracious enough to show us those areas where it's like, here's a place where I need you to pull back, or this is where I need you to go full steam ahead. But it's not about being part of a team that has influence, or it's not about this amazing opportunity. See, the amazing opportunity is walking with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we find our treasure.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey tonight in the midst of your sabbatical from speaking. So I appreciate that so much.
Sure, sure. And Amy, thank you for what you do, and for encouraging those who are listening to this, and thank you for allowing me to be a part.
Yes, absolutely. So if people want to find you or find your book, how can they do that?
Well, the book is available on all different distributors. It's at Barnes & Noble, and then it's also at Proverbs31.org in their bookshop. And then I would love, I have a very active blog with a large community of friends, and so tsuzanneeller.com, I'd love to see them there.
All right, everybody go do that. All right, Susie, thanks so much again.
Thanks, Amy.
Well, guys, I just have to tell you, I was so encouraged by this episode with Susie. We got done, and I just really felt like I can let out a big exhale. There are just a couple things that I took away from this conversation that just really gave me, I guess, a lot of relief. The first is just the amazing faith that she displayed with her husband moving without really understanding why, except they knew they were just supposed to every time they prayed about it. I mean, it is so hard to move away from everything familiar and unknown, even when you're really clear on why you're moving and where you're going and it all runs smoothly. But to really not know all the details and face so many hurdles and yet keep going, to me, that's just amazing faith. And yet to see that God was so faithful to them, and they could see after moving that she was supposed to help minister to the women of her church, and it was a very specific answer to prayer. That's just amazing to see how God worked all that together. So I'm just so encouraged again to step out in faith, even though I might not understand totally what's really happening behind the scenes. The second thing I wanted to bring up is just a reminder how often we disqualify ourselves and really how we might disqualify other people. Just like I'm sure how many must have just disqualified Matthew as a disciple, or how many people disqualify the girls and the women in India, and yet how treasured we all are to Jesus. And if Jesus calls us to something, that's enough. We don't have to have a long list of qualifications. There's just one, and that's that Jesus called me. And so just to be able to rely on that and move forward to know that we do not have to be qualified, we just have to be called. The third thing is just to remember that even when we doubt, even after we've seen him be so faithful, that we can just take our little mustard seed of faith that we might have in the moment and take all of our doubts with it and lay it before God. And with that, he will walk alongside us and be with us. And that is the true miracle. So guys, I hope that encourages you as you might be pondering God's next steps for you. Don't forget to hop over to Facebook to like, share, and comment the post so we can share this amazing message that Susie brought to us today. Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next week on Feathers.